Good morning, friends and family. All right, we're going to do some trash talking today. Specifically, any one of you here like receiving trash leftovers? Samuel, did you just raise your hand? You like trash? All right, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say none of us like receiving trash. Here's the money question for today, okay? The money question is this. Do you offer leftover and trash to others? Do you offer that to other people? Oh, we got some that are pretty honest. They're like, yeah, that's what I do. But I'm going to go out on another limb here to say that for the most part, all of us, when we give things away, when we live our lives, when we're doing things, we believe that we're doing what is right, right? We believe that what we're doing is okay and acceptable. None of us go all out and say, I'm just going to give trash away. So, as you know, if that's normally how we think, God's word is going to prove us wrong. And so God's going to challenge us on that, the idea that what we give are acceptable, but it may not actually be acceptable. And to illustrate this idea, I'm going to show us a clip. Okay, it's a very short clip. It's from TLC, Extreme Cheapskates. Everyone ever seen that before? Extreme Cheapskates? They crack me up. And in this particular clip, it's a married couple. The guy's name is called Roy, and the wife is called Lisa, okay? And so this particular clip, if someone can get the lights turned off, is that Roy and Lisa, they're having their anniversary, okay? So Roy's job is to go out and get her an anniversary present and to bring her out to the movies. So that's Roy's mission. And what I want us to see is how Roy achieves his mission. And I want you to put yourself in the perspective of Roy and also in Lisa, okay? Because we're going to unpack it after we see this video. All right, let's go.
Some husbands have different kinds of hobbies. My husband has a hobby of dumpster diving. I mean, it might be a little bit more socially acceptable for him to take up golf.
Anniversary gift for Lisa. Clean them up a little bit. Roses. Now that says romance. I found it. Lovely gift from Lisa. She drinks tea. If it's free, it's for me.
I can't believe Roy brought me to the movies. I haven't been to the movie in I don't know how long.
Oh, so nice.
Are you hungry?
Yeah, I told you. I wanted something to eat. But I wanted popcorn, candy, or a drink or something.
Pretty insistent on that, aren't you?
Well, I'm in a movie.
All right. Let me go throw this away. My lucky day, popcorn. Clean out this cup, it'll be good as new. I know this movie theater gives free refills with their popcorn and soft drinks, so I found a few containers in the trash and surprised my loving wife. Can't beat free. Surprise.
Oh, look at you. Thank you. Aren't you lovely?
Yes, I am.
Aren't you lovely? Yes, I am. I can guarantee you if I dumpster dive for Winnie, for her anniversary present, we're not going to be living together anymore, okay? It's horrific what he does to his wife, right? So in his mind, here's the twisted thing. He thinks what he's doing is excellent. He's like, oh, look at this. I got all this free stuff from the trash. Give it to my wife. I'm an awesome husband, right? He thinks it's okay. He thinks it's acceptable. In fact, there's a sense of pride, right? How he got something for free and now he can just kind of give it to his wife. Think about it from Lisa's perspective. how would she feel? I don't think she knows that thing came out from the trash bin, you know, the popcorn and the soda. But if she knew what she was eating and what she was drinking, how do you think she would feel? How about, let's ask the wives, okay? If your husband brought you trash, what would your response be to him? Joyce, you look like you have something you want to say. How would you treat Jan if that's what he did to you? You make him eat it? You're like, eat your trash, Jan. Yeah, and think about it from our perspective, okay? From Roy's mind, it's not trash. He's giving his wife something really awesome, right? But come on, who's he kidding? Like, we can obviously see that he's giving his wife trash. And that's what we want to kind of tackle today as we jump into the book of Malachi. Okay, the people in Israel in this period of their life, they think what they're giving to God is perfectly acceptable. They think what they're giving to God is perfectly good. They think what they're giving to God is perfectly fine. But from an outside perspective, if we just see what they're giving to God, it's obviously trash. Okay, they're bringing lame animals, they're bringing sick animals, they're bringing blind animals, they're bringing injured animals into the temple to sacrifice and give as an offering to God. And so when we read this passage, we're like, come on, man, how are you getting away with this, bringing all this trash into the temple? And lo and behold, we're going to see how God responds to what they do this morning. And I think before we jump into the conclusion of, you know, I don't do that, I don't bring trash into church, I don't bring trash into my life, I think God's word is going to challenge us on that, okay? The thing with Roy is he did not realize, maybe he knew it was trash, but in his mind, it's good stuff. Okay, and in the mind of the Israelites, when they were bringing all this trash to God, in their mind, it's good stuff. But God says, that's not good stuff. That's just plain old trash. Don't bring it to the temple. And so we want to ask ourselves, right? We could be in the position of Roy. We could be in the position of the Israelites, thinking things that we're bringing to God is perfectly acceptable. But come to know, as we're going through God's words this morning, he's saying, you know what? It's actually not. What you're bringing to me, what you're offering, is actually trash. And so the first question we want to ask is, let's look at our lives and see, are we truly bringing trash or are we bringing things of excellence to God? Right? That's the first question is, our eyes just need to be open. Like, what are we bringing, trash or excellence? And then the second question is, if we very quickly realize things that we do in our lives are just straight up trash, then what is the solution to this? What is God's prescription so that we can drive towards excellence, right? So that in the way that we live our lives and the way that we go to church, in every aspect of our lives, how can we turn garbage and trash and leftovers to things of excellence? Because that's what God wants us to do in our lives. So that's what we have to go forward towards. I think it will be very eye-opening for sure. Malachi hasn't disappointed any of us so far just by the things that God has revealed through Malachi. And so if you will open up your Bible to the book of Malachi, we're going to jump right in. I want to remind us why the Israelites think it's okay. They're in a very comfortable period in their life, in their nation, okay? They've just been released from captivity. They were there for 70 years. Now it's been 100 years since they've come back to Jerusalem. They've built their temples, they've built their walls, everything is good. And so they're just very comfortably going through their lives. Nothing exciting is happening, God isn't working in wondrous ways. And so they're just going through their daily lives, and slowly, the importance of God, the importance of religious ceremonies, the importance of going to the temple, their concept of who God is has started eroding. They've just gone through just normalcy in life and they've forgotten the great God that they serve. And that's why they've come to the point where they're bringing trash into the temple and they think it's okay. All right. So Malachi chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 6 all the way through the end of the chapter. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 all the way to the end of the chapter, and then we're going to unpack what's going on here, okay? A son honors his father, and a slave his master. If I'm a father, where is the honor due to me? If I'm a master, where is the respect due to me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you, priest, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Now plead with God to be gracious to us. With such offerings with your hands, will he accept you, say the Lord Almighty? Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty. And I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, say the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying the Lord's table is defiled and its food is contemptible. And you say, what a burden, and you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Ooh, man, God goes down hard on them. And really the core of what's going on here is the word contempt. In fact, God repeats it 5 times. He says, you are contempt. You are contemptible. You are contemptuous. So if you're not familiar with that word contempt, it means perceiving someone else as beneath consideration, meaning perceiving someone as useless, perceiving someone as worthless, perceiving someone as unimportant. So in the mind of the Israelites, God isn't all that important to them. And that's why God keeps saying, you are contempt. That's how you view me. And the result of contemptuous kind of attitude towards God is they're going to bring their trash, right? Stuff they don't even want to keep in their own flock. So if an animal's injured, they don't want it in their flock. They're going to give it to God. If an animal is blind, they don't want to keep it. They're going to give it to God. And so what you end up having is, picture the temple, okay? Picture all these animals, people are lining up, and they're walking up with animals that are blind, you know, the animals just kind of walking around and hitting on walls. The animal can't even walk, they're lame, they have to like carry it. The animal is injured with like blood flowing out. And so they bring this animal to the altar and say, here, God, this is my offering to you. And then God tells a joke. Do you guys know God likes to joke? In verse 8, he says this. He says, try offering this to your governor. Is he going to accept it? Think about it when you're driving down this road, okay? Abigail Spanberger, Dave Pratt, right? These are people who are going to potentially be leaders in our community. And so if you go up to them and you go up to their campaign manager and say, hey, Abigail and Dave, I have all this stuff I want to give to you. And they look at it and it's obviously trash, you know, do you think they're going to accept it? Well, no. Of course they're not going to accept it. And God says, come on, man. Your own governor isn't even going to accept your garbage. How can you expect that God is going to be pleased by what you bring into the temple? Right? So God really locks down on them. Man, this is... He's opening up their eyes to say, look at what you're bringing to me. You don't even want to keep it in your own flock, right? You're keeping all the healthy stuff, you're keeping all the unblemished flock, and then you're just kind of clearing out your trash and bringing it to the temple. And so that's what's going on. And that's a sad reality that a lot of the Israelites are doing. You know, if God looks at us, he could easily just say, you are all so screwed up. I'm not getting any respect from you. He could easily just say, I'm done with all of you, right? He could do that. And really, that's what God is pointing out to the Israelites. He's saying, you have failed to see me as a great king to fear. You have failed to see me as a father to honor. You have failed to see me as a master to respect. And this is what God is saying. He's saying, in your contempt, you're treating me like a charity case. You're treating me like a Salvation Army, right? Taking all your trash that you don't want and just dumping it in my temple. I can tell you God is not a charity case. God spoke everything that we know into existence. He doesn't need anything from us, right? So we shouldn't treat God like a charity case. And so we have to ask, why is God so, why does he harp so much on perfection? He owns everything already. Why is he expecting perfection and bringing these animals that are perfect to the temple? Well, we know that in Old Testament, every single thing that the Israelites were doing points and foreshadows what the Messiah is going to do, right? So for example, in the temple animal sacrifice, when they were sacrificing that animal, we know that it is foreshadowing the perfect sacrifice that's going to come. So when they're doing sacrifices in the temple, God is saying, there's going to be the day when you're going to stop doing this. No more temple sacrifices, because the perfect sacrifice is going to come and replace all of that. And so as they were doing this, think about their heart. They're bringing lame and blemished and blind sacrifices. Like, is that the kind of message that God wants them to think? When the Messiah comes, is it going to be a blind Messiah? When the Messiah comes, is it going to be an injured Messiah? When the Messiah comes, is it going to be a lame Messiah? No. God wants us to see that the gift that he wants to give us is perfect. And I want us to look at a couple verses where it talks about this. God harps on the perfection of the offering because it's symbolic of his perfect son who's going to come. So in John 1:29, it says this. And this is John the Baptist, okay? So John the Baptist is baptizing people, and then he sees Jesus coming. This is his response in John 1:29. It says, John was baptizing, and the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so all over Scripture, Jesus is portrayed as a Lamb that comes from God to take away the sin of the world. And here's another passage from 1 Peter 1:18. It says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed to you from your ancestors. And here's the key passage. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for your sake. Though you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorify him, and so your faith and hope are in God. And so what this is saying is, when the Israelites fail to bring sacrifices that were perfect and without blemish and without defect, they have failed to see God's plan for them in bringing his perfect son to redeem them. And so their attitude is like, I don't care. I'll just give whatever trash I have to God. And that was unfortunately their heart. And of course, God is going to get upset with that. And sometimes I think, I'm like, you know, since the Israelites were like that, and I'm sure many of us kind of feel that way too, sometimes we just bring trash into the church, God would be perfectly justified to say, I'm done with you guys, right? I'm going to treat you with contempt. If you're going to look at me with contempt, I can treat you with contempt, and he could be perfectly justified to allow us to be self-condemned and self-implode. And here's why God is so amazing. Despite of our attitude towards him, despite of us bringing imperfect gifts to him, he still sent his perfect son to die on the cross for us that we may have eternal life. So that when we come to know Jesus and our heart starts changing, our heart to see the worth of God, our heart to fear him as a king, our heart to respect him as a master, our heart to honor him as a father starts transforming. That's how great our God is. You know, we really don't deserve anything that God gives us, but he does it purely out of grace. I want to show us this picture. This is a groundbreaking day for this physical building. So this was 7 years ago when our church gathered together in this field. And it was groundbreaking day, so they had their shovels and everything, and they were breaking the ground. And that's Pastor Daniel. He was kind of talking about, you know, the blessings of God and how we're going to have our own church building. And so I remember very specifically that one time where we had one of the deacons, and she walked up there and she says, you know what, we're so blessed that God is giving us this beautiful building that's going to be built in a couple months. And so she said, when we move in, there's going to be nothing but chairs. That's all we got, okay? It's not furnished. And I remember her very clearly saying, these are lists of items that if you want to offer to God, you can go out and get it and then bring it to the church when it's built up. And I remember her saying this very explicitly. She said, you Chinese people are so cheap and so frugal. Okay, whenever someone starts with that, you know it's never going to go well for everyone else. It's like, you Chinese people, so cheap and so frugal. Don't bring your trash and donate your trash to the church, okay? And she said, it is not spring cleaning for your house, so don't take stuff in your garage that you haven't used in a while to donate to the church. Bring your best. Have an attitude of excellence. This is God's house, you know. Give him your best. Don't give him your trash. And I was actually kind of upset she said that initially because I had like some stuff in my house I wanted to get rid of. And I was like, oh, this is great. I can get rid of it. Then I can buy new stuff, right? Then I have like a new sofa. I have like new stuff. And I'll just donate my things to church and you get a tax write-off. Oh man, this it just gets better. And I kind of got upset with her. But now I realize, I'm like, wow, if that's really what I did, I'm really bringing trash into God's temple. Like, I'm not even seeing God as worthy of me spending money and buying him something new. All I see God as is someone who I can just dump my trash to, right? All of us do that. All of us do that. And so that's just a really funny example. And I tell you, it's been 7 years and it sticks to my head. And so now when I'm doing anything with church, I try very hard not to bring trash in because I have a lot of stuff I want to get rid of. But I just bring it to the Salvation Army. I'm like, okay, if I want to bring something to church, it needs to be brand new. It needs to be good things. I know some people who are going through their fridge and they're like, oh, you know, this is about to expire. Let me just bring it to church and give it to the youth group. They're going to clean it up for us anyway. So stuff like that we do, we think it's perfectly okay, but it's not. You know, this is God's people. This is God's church. Don't bring your trash in here. And so we have to ask the question, now that Christ has come and he has obliviated sacrifices, right? None of you guys came here today bringing lamb to sacrifice. Anyone brought animals into the church today? No? So that doesn't happen anymore. So how does this idea of bringing sacrifices and offerings work now as New Testament Christians, right? Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law, he came to fulfill it. But the principle of the law of giving God our excellence and bringing our best to God still stands. So how does this principle apply to Christians today? And that's where Romans 12, 1-2 comes along. Okay, Romans 12, 1-2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. See, the worship now is no longer in the boundaries of where we worship, right? So just because you're not in the church building doesn't mean your offering to God ceases. Even when you're at work, you are presenting to God your best and your excellence. Even when you're at school, you're presenting your best and your excellence. So this is very unfortunate for some of us. You know, we think like, if I go to church on Sunday and I kind of behave, then I fulfill my live offering to God. But that's not true. The New Testament principle is now your entire life, your whole body, wherever you go, whatever you do, however you think, whatever you say, whatever action you take, all of that is now part of your offering to God. And that's honestly really scary because there's a little bit of inconsistent of how I behave at church and how I behave at home, right? And my kids can tell you that. My wife can tell you that. Sometimes I'm just a mean husband. And that is not bringing my best to God. That's not bringing God my best offering at home. And if we think about it this way, I'm really giving God my trash in my marriage. When I treat my wife with contempt, when I treat my wife in a mean way, you know, that is bringing trash into God as offering. And you can apply this to every part in your life. In fact, if you have the bulletin, I have a handout for you. It's called 7 Simple Ways to Honor God in Your Daily Life. And we'll take some time to go through this because I think it's really important that we realize offering to God and sacrifices to God is not a religious activity anymore. It's every aspect of your life. So if you don't have it, raise your hand. We might have some at the back. And so if there's extra, just kind of bring it forward. So 7 simple ways to honor God in your life. The first one is when you wake up. Okay, it says the first question you ought to just ask yourself when you wake up is this: how can I honor God today? God, help me honor you with my heart, my mind, my body, and my soul. And I can almost guarantee you, if you're deliberate with how you wake up in the morning and that's how you set your mind to say, God, a lot of stuff is going to get thrown at me. I'm not going to be able to handle it in a way that is perfect. But can you please help me and teach me so that when I'm dealing with these situations, that I can honor you, that I can sincerely say, God, I did my best with this situation. That's why you have a sticker that's clipped to the corner of your article. So take that sticker and just stick it somewhere where you're going to see it first thing in the morning, okay? That might be on your toothbrush, it might be on your lampstand, whatever it is. The first thing you do is you wake up and you see that and you just pray and say, God, how can I honor you today? Help me honor you with my mind, heart, body, and soul. And I think if every single one of us here can commit to doing that every day, I can almost guarantee you the way that you look at life, your attitude towards God, your attitude towards people around you is going to be radically transformed. And the second one is as you get ready. So put this in your bathroom mirror, someplace where you can see it, and just make the same prayer and say, God, everything I'm about to face today, you already know it. You know my abilities to handle or not being able to handle certain things. And so, God, please give me the wisdom and the power to handle this in a way that honors you, whether that's with my wife and kids or at school, at work, whatever. Then it gets to the physical self. Oh, man, this was like the most convicting one for me because it talks about exercising, right? We know that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and so we want to honor God in our body, and so we want to be in the best shape we can possibly. I'm not in that shape, as you guys can see, and so this was very convicting to me. I'm going to start going back to the gym. It's a promise that I'm going to make to myself. And so in my desire to honor God, you know, I want to be healthy. And there's other things it talks about here about physical self. Wear modest clothes, okay? Choose food that protects and nourishes your health rather than destroy it. And I know Halloween season is coming. You guys all have a sweet tooth. You're going to gorge yourself on candy and chocolate. Pick the healthier options. Vegetables, kale chips, okay, things that are healthier. Yes, kale chips. I did get that into a sermon message. The next part is at work and at school. When you're at work, your school, you're interacting with your boss and your managers or with your teachers and your professors. You want to bring God glory, right? I think most of our frustration comes when we're working, especially if we have horrible customers, horrible clients, or our relationship with our boss isn't that great. I think it's important, even more important, that we say to God, God, help me honor you, because I'm not in a healthy relationship at church, at work, or at school. It's a very toxic relationship. How can I do things that honor you in the way that I say and do? It talks about if you have a wage, if you're earning, how can you take that money and bless other people as an offering? And in your play, so during your free time, when you are on social media or watching videos or movies or doing whatever you do on your free time, how can you choose to do things that are wholesome? Okay, things that aren't going to destroy your mind and destroy how you perceive God. So those are important also, because it shows how you're choosing to spend your free time in a way that honors God. And I think the next one in relationships, that's a big one. We're around people all the time. We don't necessarily get along well with everyone. And so I think this is probably the hardest one for everyone to do. And so I think our prayer ought to be, God, you know, really help us in our relationship. Help us to show love when it's the hardest to show love. Help us to have opportunities to show the love of Christ to those who don't know the love of Christ. And then at the end of the day, how do you close your day also matters. Do you close your day by just praying to God and saying, thank you, God, for your day? Do you close your day with a heart of thanksgiving? You know, this is like your whole day. And the principle for a New Testament Christian is every single thing that you do today in your life is a living sacrifice to God. So don't think just because you're coming to church and you're kind of acting the right way, that's pleasing, and then you have this completely different life outside of church. Doesn't apply anymore. That might have applied in the Old Testament time, but not in New Testament for sure. And so I want to inspire each one of us, okay? This shouldn't be something that guilt us to say, man, you know, my life really sucks. I'm not meeting God's standards. And I'm not being a good husband. I'm not being a great wife. My parenting skill is horrible. This is not meant to guilt you into those things. Passages like these are meant to show us what it could be, right? God is always saying, I know you're a sinner. I know your life is messy. But if you are in Christ Jesus, but if you have accepted him as Lord and Savior, then you have the Spirit of God in your life. And what you know today isn't the same tomorrow. All these crappy things and trash things and garbage in your life right now isn't what's going to define you in the future. God gives us a pathway to eternity. God gives us a pathway to godly living. God gives us a pathway to healthy living. Like, it's always meant to show us the hope that is in Christ. It's never meant to guilt us into thinking I'm worthless. Okay, that's not what Scripture tells us. Scripture acknowledges that we are messed up, but Scripture gives us a solution through the person of Jesus Christ to get out of that kind of situation so that you can be a better spouse, so that you can be a better parent, so that you can be a better child of God, so that you can be a better student at school, so that you can be a better employee at work. That's what Scripture always points us to, something that is hopeful, something that is new in Christ. So I hope that that inspires each one of us today to look at this passage and go, you know what? I desire that kind of life, and I want Christ in my life so that I can experience him in the fullest, so that I learn what it means to honor him as a father, so that I can experience what it means to respect him as a master, and so that I can be in awe of what a great king he is that I can fear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good, God. Sometimes I'm just afraid to preach messages like this, God, because we could end up in a place where we feel horrible about ourselves. But we know that when Christ Jesus came, he changed all of that. And so we thank you, Lord, because of Christ Jesus. Everything in our life is different now. Everything in our lives isn't defined by failures, isn't defined by brokenness, but it's defined by newness in Christ Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that as we wake up each day, you give us the power, that you give us the perseverance, that you give us the boldness to live in a way that honors you. And if we fail for that day, God, that we can come to you in brokenness and acknowledge that we fail, God, and that you build us back up, God, for a new day, so that next day we can honor you. Next day we can fear you. Next day we can respect you. I thank you, Lord, that that is the hope that you give us, not a life where we're just stuck in the rut all the time. We thank you, Lord, because of the promise of Christ, we have that hope. We give you praises for who you are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.